Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are learning together Divrei Yomim Aleph Perek Yud Gimel, the 13th chapter of the book of Divrei Yomim 1. And our Perek is about the topic of the return of the Aron, of the Ark, to Jerusalem, to Yerushalayim. It is 14 psukim long, it is a shorter Perek, and to find its parallel section, you would go to Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Vov. It's interesting to note that in Sefer Shmuel Beis, this story actually occurs just after the war against the Philistines and the building of David Melech's own palace. Whereas here we're going to see that those two topics are the next Perek's topic. So there's a little bit of a switch around. We have to think about why that could be. Let's take a look at the Perek itself in terms of the facts and then a few points to ponder. We hear that David Melech now consults with his Sarei Alafim and his Meot. He consults with his leaders, his officers, and he says to them, he says to all of Israel, you know, Hashem has, you know, has given us so many brachas. Let's bring all of us together and bring the Aron together to us, because it was not looked after, it was not sought during the days of Shaul HaMelech. And everybody says that's a great idea. They find this is a good idea. They gather together, everybody together from the south to the north, and they bring the Aron from Kiryat Yearim. That's where it's staying right now, and they bring it together. And they set up this whole musical ensemble to accompany it as they bring the Aron up. They put it on a special new wagon that they created from Beis Avinadav, and Uzzah and his brother and Achio now are accompanying it. And they're all playing in front of it, and it's a very big celebration. And they come to the place called Goren Kidon, and what happens is that the wagon starts shifting because of the cattle that are pulling it, and it starts to slide, and Uzzah reaches out with his hand to stop the Aron from falling, and Hashem is angry with him and kills him on the spot. And David HaMelech gets angry because of this, what's called Peretz B'Uzzah, this breakthrough that Uzzah was killed, and that's why the place is called Peretz Uzzah. And David HaMelech gets very scared. So he says, how can I bring this Aron to my house? So he decides to actually put it at a different place. He places it in the house of Oved Edom HaGeti. He's a Jewish person, just he came. He perhaps was a trader. He lived in Gat at some point in time, which is a Philistine city. And he settles the Aron there. And in those 3 months, there's a tremendous bracha in the house of Oved Edom and everything he has. So a few things. That's the general content of the Perek. Let's look at the points to ponder. First of all, if you contrast, if you, so to speak, lay the on the light box, Perek Vov in Sefer Shmuel Beis and Perek Yud Gimel in Divrei Yomim Aleph over each other, we'll see there's elements that we're being told here that we did not hear of initially in Sefer Shmuel. So, for instance, the one piece of information which we did not hear about is his consultation with the people and the leaders. There it just sounds like David HaMelech went ahead and said, let's bring the Aron. So what's that all about? So the Malbim says, yes, Sefer Shmuel is summarizing this event. Here we get a few more of the details. David HaMelech did feel that it was important to consult them. This is certainly the beginning of his malchus as well. In fact, the way Rashi explains it is, he said to them, look, you all gathered together just in the previous perek to bring me, to coronate me. Now's the time to come together to coronate Hashem, to bring the Aaron into a proper place to be in Yerushalayim. However, the Radak disagrees. The Radak says, no. If you read the beginning of Sefer Shmuel Beis Perek Vav, it says, Vayosef or David is called Bachur Yisrael Shloshim Elef. He gathered together all the young men, 30,000. And included in that is the regathering of the people as well. So he feels that, in fact, this was hinted to, certainly, in Sefer Shmuel Beis. Why is the focus, why is David HaMelech saying that this wasn't done in the time of Shaul HaMelech? Isn't that a little bit of a low blow? Why is he going against Shaul on this point? So the Radak points out that this is simply because Shaul HaMelech, not only did he not seek out the Aron, but Nov, which was essentially the place of the residence of it was a city of Kohanim, and it was really where the Mishkan had been, or the remnants of the Mishkan had been, was destroyed by Shaul HaMelech. So based on the Lashon Hara of Doeg HaAdami, so he really did a lot to damage the standing of the Mishkan and the sanctuary, which is why David HaMelech is pointing that out. It seems that all of Israel came along with this delegation, and it sounds like everybody gathered together. This wasn't recorded in Sefer Shmuel, so the Rabbi points out that yes, he wanted Israel to all feel a part of this incredible moment. He wanted all of Israel to be shareholders in this incredible uniting and of bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim, and that's why it was so important. where exactly is Kiryas Yearim and why is the Aron over there? So if you look on a map, actually Kiryas Yearim is just slightly to the west of Yerushalayim. It's towards the Mediterranean Sea. It's in the territory just the northmost territory of Yehuda going into Binyamin. And the reason why it's there is because in the times of Eli, at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel Aleph, the Philistines waged war against the nation of Israel and conquered the Mishkan, destroyed the Mishkan in Shiloh, and took the Aron captive for 7 months. It went into a number of Philistine cities, and every place that it went, it brought a curse upon it. People got terribly sick, and they sent it back on a wagon as a test to see if it would actually get there. And it did get there. It went to Beit Shemesh. People didn't treat it properly, and there was a death there too. And they ultimately sent it to Kiryat Yearim, which is where it's been staying for this duration in the meantime, until now, until David HaMelech feels it's appropriate to bring it to Yerushalayim, to his palace. That is why it is as it is. That whole story occurred in Perek Shmuel Aleph, Perek Vav. Now, why didn't they carry the Aron in this case? The Abba says because they were using the example of how it was brought to Kiryat Yearim. It was brought on a wagon. So that they did is they used the same way of carrying it. Why was Uzzah killed? What was so bad about this whole episode? So the Abba enumerates four problems that we see in this problem, four sins. Number one is they really should have carried it themselves. The Torah describes how the Aron traveled from point A to point B, and by Karsef Yisrael, they would carry it on their shoulders. That's the more respectful, more intimate way. It's not like you're relegating it to a delivery service. It's you actually care about it intimately and carefully, and therefore this is number one, was incorrect. Number two is the Leviim never ever touched the Aron, the Kohanim. They only touched the poles. This case, Uzzah actually touched the Aron itself. Number three, Uzzah wasn't even a Levi. He did not come from the Shevet Leviah, and therefore he was not allowed to be there. It was a mistake to have him around in the first place. And finally, the Gemara in Sota on Daf Lamehem Amud Aleph tells us that it was also a lack of emunah. He thought that the Aron would fall off if it reached the edge of the agala of the cart. But really, truly told, the Aron Nosei Es Nosav would carry those who carried it. It was a spiritual element. It defied many physical laws in this universe. And therefore, his lack of realization was a lack of emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is why he died. By the way, just as a footnote to all of these, it's been a very long time since Bnei Israel have had to move the Aron. Because barring that episode where they have to move from Beit Shemesh to Kiryat Yearim, if you think about it for a moment, the last time they moved it was in the Mishkan was moving. That was only the first years of the land before they set it up in Shiloh. So this has been lost in a certain sense as well. We hear two emotions David HaMelech expresses in this whole episode. He expresses anger and fear. Vayichar David, vayira. Why is the anger? Why is anger justified here? So one thing that's worthwhile noting is the idea that the Masoros points out the anger is self-directed. He is angry at himself for having made the mistakes as enumerated by the Abba Brunel. I would like to just also add an interesting point to think about, and that is that if you go back to Pasuk Beis in Ara Perek, it describes how when David HaMelech says, let's send messengers to all of Israel, he says, Umin Hashem Elokeinu nifritza v'nishlecha al acheinu anisharim b'chol artos Yisrael. Let us break through and send messages to all of Israel. Nifritza, the word nifritza is actually the same word used to describe Peretz Uzzah, the breakthrough of Uzzah. I wonder if there's a certain hint over here in the word of Peretz Uzzah, which is indicating that perhaps the democratization of everybody being involved in this might also be, in a certain sense, in a veiled sense, being attacked here or being questioned as to how everybody had the right. Maybe it became too much of a public affair that was what the Peretz was about. Were food for thought. Why did David HaMelech not want to bring it to his palace after this? So Abba Brunel said because he was concerned if there was not enough respect shown, maybe in his palace enough respect would not be shown. So he sent it to Oved Edom, who was actually a Levi, and he was a gatekeeper. He was a Shoer, which means to say that he had the appropriate job title and respect for the Devarim Shel Kedusha. And finally, how was his house blessed? How was Oved Edom's house blessed? So Abba Brunel says in his assets and his money suddenly took a great turn. All his stocks in the market suddenly went up, and his property went up and everything. And in fact, his wife and his daughters, his daughters-in-law, all had six children at once, which obviously in this three-month period is an indication that this is very, very much, there's something supernaturally blessing, some supernatural blessing going on over here. And the reason this is important is very much like the Ketores in Parshas Korach, is to realize that it's not the item which bears a curse with it. It's not the Ketores there in Parshas Korach that got them killed, and it isn't the Aron that got Uzzah killed here. What is sin. And it's important. You know, it's easy to take the Indiana Jones approach to things and say, well, you know, the Ark of the Covenant can kill all these people. But actually, really, it's about sin. And this is a representation of the reflection of the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if that's breached, then yes, that sin will kill people. But that's to show that when it's in the right place and treated correctly, it will bring tremendous bracha as well. This story actually continues. It's going to skip a perek. It's going to skip perek Yudalet and come back in perek Tezvov as we move it. And we hear about the moving from the Kiryas Yearim to Yerushalayim. We have to understand why there's a skipped perek, but we'll get back to that, God willing, when we get there. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.